It's 27. Let's start with chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, but put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer right there. Father, turn to you tonight once again to break the bread of life and pray that you might give us some encouragement, Lord. We are reminded of some things here in this sermon, pretty simple stuff, really. But it's also things that fall to the wayside. And I pray you just, out of a simple phrase, urge us forward, Lord. We don't know how many days we have left, but they can't be many. And so we pray that you'd please bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's some very uplifting and sublime things in the psalm, as you well know, in this passage. It's easy reading this passage to see why David would have been called the man after God's own heart. He had thoughts toward the Lord that most people didn't and probably don't. And so, for all his faults and all those things, you see that with the Lord. Now, the actual text is verse 8, 27:8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, we often speak of people being unresponsive here in Minnesota and probably in the states in general as far as a gospel presentation. Oftentimes, folks are unresponsive. Seldom at a funeral I preach or at a wedding that I preach do people jump up and shout amen and have a good time. They're kind of considered unresponsive. Sometimes somebody comes seeking counsel, and you give counsel, and they're not listening to counsel because it's not what they want to hear, and so we call that unresponsive. But really, unresponsive is not the accurate adjective, because the fact is we just mean they don't respond the way we would like that they would. And the fact of the matter is they do respond. Some of you have shaken your whole family tree at a Thanksgiving before when you witness to Aunt Maybell or something like that, and you've never been forgiven for it. And they all remain lost. Some of you have had family or friends visit 10 or 15 years ago, and they're still mad at the church for what they heard. Sometimes it was at a funeral, sometimes it was at a wedding or whatever. But the fact is they do respond, they just don't respond the way we would like for them to. You go to the state fair and stand on that corner over there and preach for a while, and a lot of times folks refuse to even look your way, but that's a response. It's just not what we would like for it to be, right? And so I was thinking about that, and it says there in verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I mean, there was an immediate heart response there. Now, I point you out something in the passage, and this is a one-time thing in all the Bible. Believe it or not, verse 8 Seek ye my face. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Now that's the only place in the Bible that my heart said, or that for that matter, heart said. In other words, this is the sole place in the Word of God where my heart said back to what you say. Now, that's a response. That's the heart's response to what the Lord said unto him. You notice that response, it cannot be a question about its rightness. Lord says, seek ye my face. The only right response is, thy face, Lord, will I seek, right? It's a right response. By the way, it was immediate. Doesn't appear that this took 2 days to, roll around on the tongue and digest and decide, okay, well, I guess so. No, it was an immediate thing. It was a pleasing response. You know the Lord had to be pleased by that. And once again, you kind of see why David may be, or David was, the man after God's own heart, because he is the only guy that said something quite like that. Lord said, seek ye my face, and my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So the title of the message tonight is My Heart's Response. Because that's what he's talking about, is how his heart responded to the Lord's admonition. And so, again, you see it's a right response, an immediate response, and all those things. I know most of us here are Bible believers tonight, maybe all of us, and you're serious about what you're doing. But you know as well as I do, to every one of us here, if you read your Bible where at the end of every verse you stopped and really checked it and said, Lord, I agree with that, it might change the way you read the Bible. I mean, if the Lord gives you an admonition, you stop at the end of that verse and say, Lord, I will. That'd probably change the way things happen for you on a day-to-day basis spiritually. And so it's not like, even though we're Bible believers, we can't use any improvement unless I'm, checking wrong. But the Lord can say a lot in a few words. And in my view, he said a lot in these few words. Verse 8 again. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So I want to describe the heart's, I'm drawing flies now, but I hit him, so it's good. That's my got lightning fast reflexes here. But I want to describe the heart's response, what the heart should be, in this case, what it was. I'd like to say, first of all, something kind of obvious, I guess. My heart's response is a response of heart. I mean, I know that's rather obvious, but it also can't be underrated, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So to get the heart in a place spiritually where when the Lord gives an admonition, you say, I'm on it right now, is a remarkable thing. I'd like to say it's the heart's response. Foolishness, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth, and his, how's it go? Fretteth against the Lord. Okay? A man's heart is a mess. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, y'all know these verses well, the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. In Romans chapter 10, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. If a spiritual man would read his Bible, as he read his Bible, and with anything that remotely demanded a response, if he would stop and literally respond, it might very well change the spiritual life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. The Lord complained, my people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, this is not what I'm talking about here in this verse is not just a mechanical response. It's not just expected. If you've been to, I've only been maybe to a Catholic funeral or wedding or something where you've heard responsive readings in the Lutheran church or in the Catholic church where the pious old doofus stands up and is reading some dead, dull liturgy, and then the congregation is supposed to respond, and they just kind of mutter back, you know. I mean, it just feels like a graveyard to me. But that's somebody forcing some. That's a liturgical response. It's habitual. It doesn't mean a single thing. God gets nothing out of it. They get nothing out of it. The priest gets nothing out of it. They're all just there for the wine, I think. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is simply that, you know, this is a response of heart. David was a man after God's own heart. When the Lord said, "Seek ye my face," his heart said back, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Okay? And if, like I said, reading the Bible that way might change life. Cain was not that way. Can you imagine the Lord coming down and talking man to man, face to face with Cain, saying, "And I'm telling you, sin lies at the door. You better get this straight or you're going down." And Cain's heart did not respond. I read the story of Balaam. And Balaam was a guy who said all the right things, but his heart did not respond the right way. So I want to say, first of all, this is a response of heart. Now it says in verse 8, the second thing, it says this, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." I'd like to say that's a response of faith. Because David doesn't say he's seeing anything. Lord says, "Seek ye my face," and David says, "I will, I will." It's a response of faith. Faith has been turned into this big, mystical, esoteric, mysterious entity. And a Christian will show up sometime and say, "Well, my faith is weak." Well, it's not like it's quantum mechanics. I mean, seek ye my face. What's hard? I mean, thy face, Lord, will I seek, right? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Okay, it's not quantum physics. I'm just saying that Christians will say, "Well, I just don't have any faith." And I guess we're supposed to say, "Ooh, poor baby." But I feel like saying, "Well, you doofus." I mean, all you do is read the Bible. Faith cometh, look for the umpteenth time, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, what the Word of God says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Okay. That's all there is to it. It's a response of faith. Because faith cometh by hearing. Lord tells you what to do or say, and you do it and say it or don't do it or whatever it is, and it's a response of faith. You believe God, you believe that God will keep His promise when you do what He says, then good. It's not rocket science. It's not a lifetime pursuit. It doesn't take 80 hours to get it down. Just you read the Word of God, there's an admonition. Do it. "I will do it, Lord. Thank you." Right? It is a response of faith. Noah, build a boat. Okay? Right? Here is Joseph, Jesus' stepfather. And he says, "Hey, Joseph, don't put her away. That which is done is of me." And Joseph goes, "You're saying that my wife is pregnant by the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yep." "You believe that?" "Yep." Never heard a crazier thing in your life, right? But it's a response of faith. The Lord says this, and it's good. He says, "Abraham, pack up your duds and go on the permanent camping trip. Abraham, although you're old, do the surgery tomorrow." Every time Abraham says, "Okay." I mean, he was either crazy or he had the right kind of faith. And it seemed like every time the Lord spoke, I mean, including, "Take thy son, thine only son, and take him up on Mount Moriah," Abraham did it. So what are you saying? I'm saying it is a response of faith. Moses raised the rod, and man, Moses raised the rod, and the wrath of God fell. You say, well, is it that easy for us? I don't know if it's any harder for us than it is any of them. It's a response of faith. You believe the Bible. We all wave the Bible when somebody says, "Hey, you believe the Bible." Well, amen. Okay, then. When the Lord says do something, Doubt it. It's a response of faith. And so in the passage, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's a response of faith. Proverbs says that every word of God is perfect. It says in Psalm 12 that the words of the Lord are pure words of silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And all the scholars say, no way, can't be. The response of faith is, okay, it's perfect, it's pure, it's preserved, we're good. Why can't you just leave it at that? Oh, no, we can't leave it at that. We have to go into, 14 pages of words yay long trying to confuse people. Look, it's a response of faith. Seek ye my face. Four words, all one syllable. Total, four syllables. It's just not that hard. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's a response of faith. So I'll say something else about another. How do you respond in faith? Do you? In 27:8 it says again, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, that's a response in subservience. By subservience, I mean the Lord said it, and he did it right away. Who gets to tell you what to do? Who gets to tell you what to believe? Well, I know a lot of people that would like to. I know a lot of people that vie for the opportunity. I think the news has us now where what they want is for them to snap our fingers and us to jump. But according to what I'm reading here, I think that is the subservience you owe to the Bible. Instead of asking why, instead of always trying to play around and find out, well, what's the true interpretation of that? And what did the Lord really mean when he said that? And, well, I heard a guy tell me one time, I sure would like to know what the Hebrew says about that. How about you just do what it says? You see, it is a response in subservience. Who gets to tell you what to believe? Somebody does. Why, most of this world is gambling on something that somebody tells them about how to get to heaven. Nut jobs all telling them. None of it making any sense, and they believe them. And I'm asking you as a Bible believer, who gets to tell you what to believe? Here in this passage, once again, he says, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's an immediate response. He tells you when to do it. He tells you how to do it. It's unquestioning. It's unwavering. And if I read it right, I think that the psalmist gladly did it. Seek ye my face, my heart's response was, Lord, I'll do it. He gladly did it. So it is a response in subservience. We expect our kids to respond to us, fathers. There's a Father's Day message this morning. You tell your kids, boy, when I tell you to move, you better move. Well, how fast do you move, bud? Because a lot of times a Christian doesn't move at all. Lord says this. I mean, the book sits on your table all the time. The Lord says this. And 6 weeks later, you might think about it. If you feel like it. But a response in subservience. In 27:8, it says this. Lord says a lot in a few words sometimes. Is the response of heart, is a response of faith. It is a response in subservience. It is a response taken personally. Look in 27:8. When thou saidst, God, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Okay, the Lord said, seek ye my face. He's not just addressing David. He's addressing, apparently, well, whoever's all there or whoever is all reading it. But seek ye my face. Well, my heart, an individual heart, said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's a response taken personally. It was not personally directed. The Lord didn't say, David, seek ye my face. He told a bunch of other people, seek ye my face. And David's heart said, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is a personal response. The problem with having the same Bible and reading from the same book is that all of our Bibles say the same thing. They say all the same thing to all of us. And when you address, you know, a crowd and you're saying everything to everybody, you know, there's a toilet, a really nasty toilet back there that really needs to be cleaned. All of a sudden, the guy there starts looking at his shoes thinking, well, I don't know when I scuffed that shoe. That's just weird. Somebody was looking at his watch. Where'd that scratch come from on the face, you know? It's very few that say, oh, me, I'll do it. Because he addressed the whole crowd. But in this passage, the Lord says, seek ye my face, and my heart said unto thee. I mean, a personal response. It was a personal response. It was a response taken personally. The problem is, the general address, it's a herd mentality. And if you're not careful, somebody said in recent days, I forgot who it was, somebody here, but said that, you know, they just think that in some of the bigger churches, sometimes that what people do is they go there and they're to hide. They go to hide in a crowd. They want to hear the preaching. They like preaching. They wouldn't want to change crowds, but they also wouldn't want to go to a smaller church, because if the church gets too small, all of a sudden it gets a lot more personal. And so if there's, you know, 800 in a church, then good preaching goes a long way and you can walk right out. It's like hiding behind the bug shield on a motorcycle. You ain't going to get a bug in the eye as long as you're hunkered down behind that bug shield. And so that's the way we do it sometimes. That's how some folks do it in big churches, is they know it's directed at them. And it's all good and amen, but they're not going to take it too personally. And it's a response here taken personally. Religion nourishes the herd mentality. You know, where the priest says some mundane, nonsensical thing, and everybody goes, oh, man. They just should say, oh, man. But they say, oh, man, and it's still nothing happens. We Bible believers suffer the same thing. We hear a general address, and, a lot of times we let it skip right over us. Hide behind the bug shield, you know? Seek ye, all of you. My heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's a response taken personally. I'd like to say in 27:8 one more time. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's a response undertaken earnestly. He responded in simplicity. There's no attempt to make brain surgery out of it. It's not quantum mechanics. You know, seek my face. And so he earnestly goes about to seek his face. There's no sophistry. There's no semantics. It's responded to in sincerity. There is no safari into Greek and Hebrew. And what does that really mean? And in a Bible study or in a circle, what does that mean to you? It's not like that. It is a response undertaken earnestly. In verse 8, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It's a response undertaken with initiative. You'll notice in the passage that the Lord doesn't tell David, in this passage anyway, how to seek his face. Which means when David said, when David's heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek, that means that he had to take the initiative and go find out how to seek God's face. Maybe he would have run to Deuteronomy 12, where, you know, a place to start is to find that place, that city where God set his altar and his tabernacle so that you could go there and seek God. That's what Deuteronomy 12 says. Maybe it was by fasting. That's all the way through the Word of God. Maybe it's, the Bible says in Isaiah, and David didn't have Isaiah. But if you have Isaiah, he says, seek ye out of the book and read. Maybe that's a good place to start. See, the point simply is that in one verse where you're admonished to do something, you're not always told how. You have to go in the book and find out how. And that was a response taken in initiative. David undertook to find out how it should be done. And 27 verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's a response in farsightedness. You say, what do you mean? Well, down in verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When you tell somebody to take out the trash, most of our driveways, they can take the trash out and be back in less than 2 minutes. Well, seeking the Lord's face isn't that quick. It takes a little bit more time than that, right? It's not a job accomplished in 12 minutes or 12 hours or 12 days. It's something actually that's undertaken for a lifetime. But the response in farsightedness is a realization that I've been given a task that I'm not going to be able to finish in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to have to devote, essentially, the rest of my life to, right? That should be my heart's response. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, was told to go on a camping trip, and he never returned. It took the rest of his life. Noah was told to build a boat, and by my estimations, you know, it may well have taken him 60 to 75 years. But it's not something that you just undertake in a moment's time and then finish just as quickly. He told Simon Peter, and he told the disciples, he said, follow me. And I mean, they followed and they never returned, not full time, to where they started. You say, what's the point? Point is, he's giving you, he says, seek ye my face. It's a response in farsightedness. It doesn't get accomplished in an hour or a week or a day. That's how you ought to look at your Christianity. We are told that this is not a 100-yard dash. This is a distance run. And when you undertake something like this, it takes time and it takes effort. I have one last thing to say. Oh, I know I'm really early. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't need the ice cream that bad. Just telling you. Some of y'all have had a long week, so I get it. Anyway, but in 27:8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Well, I'll show you in a second, but that's a response that acknowledges adversity. Because down in verse 9, he says, hide not thy face far from me. So this might not be as simple as it seems. I mean, I'm going to, in faith, do what you tell me to do. I'm going to go search it out. I know it may take me a long time, but this is not necessarily going to be easy, because it could be that you hide your face from me and I have to seek you more than I think I'm going to have to seek you. For instance, down in verse 10, when my mother and my father forsake me, you mean this could cause my mother and father to forsake me? Yes, it might. The response is a response that acknowledges adversity. Seek ye my face. You're going to be maybe doing this for the rest of your life, and it may cost you your family. It may cost you the fellowship of your mother and father. There's no telling what it might cost you. It cost Simon Peter his life. Hey, Peter, follow me. Crucified upside down, you know, 50 years later. Well, that's pretty good. Say, what are you saying? It's a response that acknowledges adversity. Further down in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Oh, there's going to be enemies in the path. Oh, we know about a lion in the path, I think, in 1 Peter 5. Oh, this is not going to be a slide down a greasy chute. This is going to be something that may take a lifetime, and by the way, it may be hard toil for a while. Going down to verse 11. Got a frog in my throat again. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up. You mean somebody's going to lie about me? That could well be. Your character may wind up being slandered for your attempt to fellowship with the Lord. Verse 12, false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. somebody might be cruel just because I want fellowship with Jesus. There have been many cruel generations against people that just wanted to follow Jesus Christ. So it's no small thing in verse 8. And you know the Lord knew what he was saying when he said it. He knew the cost. It's no small thing for the Lord to say, "Seek ye my face." And while it demands an immediate response, and it should be immediate, it should be taken personally, you just need to understand that it's not going to be something accomplished in the next few moments. But my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's the heart's response. It should be immediate, it should be quick, but it's going to take you the rest of your life. And it's well worth it. I don't know what other admonition might be given that is so worth doing. Seek ye my face. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore, the scriptures say. What higher calling? Isn't that the higher calling? Isn't that the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Seek his face. Find him. Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He says, this is David's heart's response, and I hope you'll consider these things. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, I know I was brief tonight. I